You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So it is the second Sunday of Easter. If you were at the Bible study / class meeting on Wednesday, you got a little preview of today's message. I don't often do that, but I think it's good for us in this Easter season to realize that Easter is not just a day. Resurrection Sunday is not the sum total of Easter. Easter is a time. It's a season in the church. We call it Eastertide. And so I think I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning talking about Eastertide. So Resurrection Sunday is accomplished. He's risen. Now what? Everybody say, now what?
Now.
Now what? Now we enter that season of Eastertide. It's a 50-day time of celebration in the church. It's nestled between Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost. And we are living now in that season, living into our calling as an Easter people. A people of new life in the resurrection power of Christ. We've been given this magnificent gift. Our slates have been wiped clean. Our sins are forgiven. We're cleansed of our iniquities by the purifying blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen? So our responsibility now in this Eastertide and the season that follows is to live lives worthy of the gift. We must now lean into the Christ power that's within us. We need to live holy lives. We do that by developing our spiritual disciplines, which we've been talking about in Bible study, until they become a habit. A lifestyle. And we practice holiness until we are holy. From our epistle that Amy just read to us from 1 John 1:7, we read, "If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Or in other words, walking in the light as he is in the light, practicing holiness until we are holy. Everybody good?
Yes.
Okay. So this year, Eastertide continues until the day of Pentecost, which is May 19th, Sunday. And the following Sunday after that is Trinity Sunday. And then we enter that post-Pentecost season, or a season of what we call ordinary time in the liturgical calendar. And you'll know you're in ordinary time because all the paraments and all the banners and things around the sanctuary and on the altar will be green. And you'll wonder, is it ever going to not be green? On Communion Sundays, it's white, but then it's right back to green again, right? Ordinary time is something of a misnomer in the church. It's anything but ordinary. In fact, it's extraordinary. Or if I was in Britain, extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
The season lasts about 6 months and is a time when the church grows and matures in the faith. How do we do that? Well, through study, through our class meetings, through regular fellowship. Yes, fellowship. All that time on the parking lot, that was spiritual discipline in action. And, of course, gathering for worship together. The seasons of the church call us to focus on specific qualities of God. His character, His nature, His story, which by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us as believers, becomes our story. His story becomes our story. Everybody say, His story is my story.
His story is my story.
Amen. His story is your story, is my story. And I encourage you to live into Eastertide and the season that follows, ordinary time, because your faith will increase as that transforming power of Christ does its work within you. So from there, I want to go into our gospel lesson today. In the gospel according to John chapter 20, starting at verse 19, listen to what John writes. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples told him, "We saw the master." But he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes, and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time, Thomas was with them. And Jesus came through the locked doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he focused his attention on Thomas. "Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe." Thomas said, "My master, my God." Jesus said, "So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ. So ordinary time is when the church engages in the predominance of its work in the world. We're equipped to do the work, and we're sent out to do the work. What work, Pastor? Well, the kingdom work the world so desperately needs. Jesus tells his disciples there in the upper room, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." There's a fancy theological word for that. It's called the Missio Dei, the mission of God, the sending of God. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. See, Jesus is launching in that moment, in that verse, you are witnesses to the launching of the mission of the church into the world. What's the mission? To proclaim the good news, the The gospel message of the mercy and grace of God, the forgiveness of sins, God's grace poured out on us through the blood of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of that is what we are to take into the world. And now more than ever, we're called as Methodist Christians to be the church in motion in the world. Yesterday, while all the activity was going on here and up at our sister church in Shepherd, the delegates that are elected in each individual local church all assembled online from 9 to, it took till about 1, 1:30-ish, and elected our delegation to represent the Trinity Conference, of which we are a part, to go to the first general conference, the forming general conference of the Global Methodist Church this year in September, being held in Costa Rica. Why? Because we're a global church. Everything doesn't happen on the continental United States anymore. And so we elected the delegation, 26, 13 clergy, 13 lay, plus 16 alternates, 8 clergy, 8 lay, to go to Costa Rica and ratify, formulate our book of doctrines and discipline, and to set the governance of the church for the next 4 years. It's amazing to be a witness to this. As we all are, we're watching the movement of God in the world. As I said, now more than ever, we're called as Methodist Christians to be the church in motion in the world. Our mission field begins in our own community, but it extends to the ends of the earth to which we are sent by the Missio Dei, the sending of God. One of the reasons why we have a live stream is so that we can be witnesses to the world. I was reviewing where I'm not going to go through the list because it would take too long. We added Africa recently. We have viewers in Africa now. We added Asia, North Korea, and China. Can you believe it?
Viewers of this church.
Viewers of this church, yes. I know, right? It is a global Methodist church, and people are tuning in from all over to see what it is we're about because they are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I am sending you. Not only that, but he gives the church power and authority to carry out the mission. It says in verse 22 and 23, then Jesus took a deep breath and breathed into them, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? In other words, he gives the church power, Holy Spirit power, to proclaim God's forgiveness of sins. He inspires them. Inspire means to breathe into, which is exactly what Jesus does. He breathes into them the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the mission of the church. Do you know that you were inspired by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm inspired.
I'm inspired.
I'm inspired. As global Methodists, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly. See, in our worship, we desire to surrender to and be fully devoted to one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're passionate about what is important to God. And Jesus calls those who follow him to love God wholeheartedly. and to love their neighbors as themselves. And our desire as the church is to demonstrate to the world the extravagant love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We've been entrusted with a life-saving and transforming message that we simply must share with others. Our witness is bold, it's compelling, and it's fearless. Fearless witness. Our mission advances when individuals become disciples of Jesus Christ and they join God's mission to make more disciples. Disciples begat disciples. It's a simple mission, but nobody ever said it was easy. Let me say that again. It's a simple mission, but it's not easy. It's a straightforward mission, but it has to be accomplished by the church, which is made up of humans who we all know are fallible and have issues. Issues like, well, doubt. Which brings us back to our gospel lesson from John 20, where we find our friend Thomas. Thomas the doubter. Doubting Thomas. God bless him. Don't be too hard on Thomas. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails, eyes aren't good enough. I need to put my finger in there too and put my hand into his side. I will not believe. You see how that's a choice? I won't believe it unless I see it. And so we call him Doubting Thomas. And we're hard on him. We talk about him every year about this time. In one of the Gospels, we talk about Thomas. And the reason we do that is because Thomas is really not all that different from the rest of us. See, we have our own doubts, don't we? We fall short of the glory of God, don't we? Now, if you're human, you should be nodding your head. We have questions about our faith. We pray at times and we wonder if we've even been heard. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. We know the Bible says to act one way, and we seldom embrace Scripture to the point to where we just say, okay, God, I believe it, and we jump in with both feet. There are a bunch of examples of that. Tithing is probably the one that we mention most often in the church. We don't talk about money all that much, but perhaps we should because the Bible does. Tithing. God says, go ahead and test me on this to see if your tithing doesn't open up the floodgates of God's storehouse. That's a pretty big promise. Test me. There's no other place in the Bible that God says, test me. But on tithing, he says, try it out. Try it. You'll like it. Try it. And see if your tithing doesn't open the floodgates of God's storehouse for you. We never jump into that with both feet, do we? We might stick a toe in the water, but we never jump into the tithing pond with both feet. Why is that? Doubt. So here's some good news for all of us doubting Thomases. God understands your doubt. Jesus can handle your doubt. Jesus didn't write Thomas off for his unbelief, did he? He didn't shun Thomas for his doubt. He didn't appear in the upper room and go, shun the unbeliever. No, he came back for Thomas. He came back so that Thomas could see and touch and believe. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Jesus came back for Thomas and gave him what he needed to move through his doubt and into belief. And here's the thing, he will do the same for you. Jesus will come back for you time and time again to give you what you need to believe. So in those times when doubt creeps in, don't hide in the corner. Come face to face with your God and say, I'm having trouble with this, Lord. I don't know if I can get my head around this, Lord. What I see going on in the world doesn't mesh with what it is you're telling me. I want to believe it, but I need more, God. Thomas saw, he felt, and he believed. My Lord, my God, Thomas confesses Jesus with his mouth, believing it finally in his heart that Jesus had in fact died and was indeed resurrected. Jesus was okay with Thomas's doubt. But then Jesus says to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Jesus was okay with the doubt and was willing to provide what Thomas needed to believe, but he tells Thomas, Tom, would it not have been cool if you had believed without seeing me and touching me? Here's the thing, if you're not aware, those who believe based purely on faith, purely on the word of the gospel, those people who will be blessed, guess who those people are? Those people are you and me. Unless somebody has put their finger in the holes in Christ's hands lately. If you're here and you believe that Jesus died and was resurrected, Jesus is talking about you. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. We're the ones who believe. We're the ones who've proclaimed my Lord and my God without the benefit of putting our fingers in the wounds. Here's the thing that puzzles me. And maybe it puzzles you too. If we can believe him in the main thing, that he is Lord, that he died and was resurrected. If we can believe him in those things, why can't we trust him with the rest of it? With the little things? Why don't we trust him with our healing? Why don't we trust him with our finances? Why don't we trust him with our relationships? Why don't we trust him with our fears and our doubts and our burdens each and every day? We believe the big stuff. Do you think the little stuff's too hard for him? No. And while we're at it, why don't we trust him in this mission that he's given us to do as the church? Why aren't we making disciples for the transformation of the world, the saving of souls? Why aren't we carrying out the mission of the church? Three words. Doubt, doubt, doubt. We have doubt in our ability. We have doubt in our personal knowledge. We have doubt in our ability to be articulate and speak. We have doubt in our willpower. And that's the one that's truly troubling, because as Christ followers, it's not about our power. It's about God's power. It's not willpower. It's the power of Christ within us. It's not on our own abilities that we have to depend. Like the disciples in the upper room, we're inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are breathed in with the Holy Spirit. Everybody take a deep breath. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit power that accomplishes the mission. Not willpower. God's power. So this resurrection that we've just experienced on Resurrection Sunday. That's a resurrection of the sending of God. It's time to renew our commitment to the mission of the church. We have a big mission ahead of us. We've been sent. Here's some questions to consider. Have we, together as this body of Christ here in Splendora, have we, as the church, asked God's guidance as to where we should go next? Rhetorical questions just to think about. Have we spent time talking about where the Holy Spirit is leading us in this sending, this Missio Dei? Have we made room for the leading of the Holy Spirit and His revival in the world? Are we willing to live into our mission? Are we going to live into it, into what God is doing, or are we going to settle back into the same old comfortable patterns of our old habits because it's just easier? Are we going to grow the kingdom, or are we going to remain complacent as the world continues to spin around us? I'd like to enter into covenant this morning. Let's agree that we need to move forward, that we need to lean into God and renew our covenant with God as the church. And to do that this morning, I want to pray over you, the church, the body of Christ moving in the world. That's who you are. And I want to do it using the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed over the church in Ephesus as they too were being sent out in love to do the work of the kingdom. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, 7 verses, 14 through 21. Paul prays, and I want to pray that over you now. So if you'll join me, heads bowed, eyes closed, receive this prayer from the Apostle Paul for you, the church. For this reason, I bend my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Receive that prayer and know that the power of the love of Christ is working in you to accomplish the mission of the church in the world. You have the power within you. Christ power, Holy Spirit power, resurrection power. You are an Easter people. Live into that power and carry on the mission of the church. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.